Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to talk about my Active Directory hacking lab. I found a video that walks you through this process, or at least setting it up. But before we get into that, I want to comment on the MITRE ATT&CK matrix. So last episode, we were talking about that and some of the information you can get from that. It's a really good thing to take a look at if you're in security, because it shows you how the attackers get in. So on the left-hand side of this thing, when you see it on the website, you're going to have the reconnaissance portion of an attack, and then it walks you through how the attacker would get inside the network. We talked about the detection side, where underneath detection you have detection of local accounts, and we talked about the Chinese hacker group that's using malware to run the net user command. And one of the things that I'm sort of learning is the tools that are being used here. And what you want to think about, and I sort of made a mistake on, is that the Chinese hacker group has malware, but that malware is using the net user command. So they have an understanding of how some of these things work, in that the malware ends up on the box, the malware runs the net user command, and it's going to see accounts on that particular Windows 10 system. And it's, you know, potential that they can see admin accounts, and then that information is going to be sent back to the hackers.
So you ended up building an Active Directory lab to try to do some hacking. Why don't you explain?
Yeah, I want to talk about the net user command first here. So in this particular case, what I need to do and remind myself is that when you're looking at the MITRE ATT&CK matrix, there's going to be a lot of things in there that don't apply to the Windows lab because they just don't work. We talked about that last episode. But the thing that I need to focus on is that, yes, there's malware, but they're also using local tools, in this case, the net user command. And so that's one of the things I need to sort of focus on, is that there are a lot of Windows commands, the tools that and things that you can use that are part of Windows, it's built in, that can help you learn more about an environment. And so even if you're a regular user, when you're logging into a Windows 10 box, you can play around with some of these things. So you may want to set up a lab where you have a domain controller, you have a Windows 10 box, and you start practicing with these commands that you have built into Windows. So they're part of, you know, maybe in this case, you're going to run a command line interface and you're going to do some commands there, or PowerShell, and just see what kinds of things you can do there and learn more about how the different commands you have within Windows that relate to how you would manage things in a domain environment, or even just on a local machine, in this case, the net user command, giving you access or information about the local admin accounts that are on a particular system. But again, a lot of these things are going to be difficult to try to implement in a hacking lab, because in this case, I'm trying to use Kali Linux to hack my way in. But I could change the way I view that and start using the Windows 10 machine and pretend to be like a user on a Windows 10 box, and then use the tools within Windows 10 to learn more about the environment and figure out what's there, and then try to hack from that.
Well, talk about the challenges that you've been kind of encountering as you're trying to figure out how to put your lab together and what kind of attacks to do.
Well, let's talk about this video, because this video helped out a lot. So this is from the Cyber Mentor. I subscribed to his channel on YouTube, but I had not seen this particular video. So I actually found this when I was doing some searching to try to build out my environment, my lab. And the video is called How to Build an Active Directory Hacking Lab. It's perfect for me. Now, he doesn't tell you how to hack into it, but he shows you how to build it. And so, you know, how do you set up the domain controller? What kind of services do you have to have? What user accounts should you put in there? What do you do with your Windows 10 systems? He's got a couple of those. Now, in the video, he does talk about 10 different ways in which you can hack into Active Directory or your Windows environment. So you have LLMNR, SMB relay attack, an IPv6 DNS takeover attack, pass the password, pass the hash. There's a token impersonation. We have Kerber roasting. There's golden ticket, PowerView, Bloodhound. These are tools that can help you learn more about Active Directory, not necessarily hacking into Active Directory, but to give you more information about Active Directory so you can kind of do that. And then we have credential dumping with Mimikatz. Now, one thing that I hadn't thought of is that if you want to use these different attacks, certain services have to be enabled. In other words, you can't just have a domain controller and then you hack in. LLMNR is a service. It's on by default. If LLMNR is not there, then you can't use that attack. And one of the things that they recommend you do when you're securing Active Directory domain controllers is to turn that off. And then once you turn that off, the LLMNR attack doesn't work anymore. Now, with the SMB relay attack, that's somewhat straightforward because in a real world environment, you're going to have SMB shares. Now, in my case, when I'm building in a lab, maybe I don't think that I need to have SMB shares because I'm not in a real world environment. I'm not trying to share files with other users. So it didn't occur to me that I needed to have some of these things turned on, like SMB share. So what you would do is you would go to your domain controller or you would go to another server on your lab environment. In this case, since I only have one server, I just did it on the domain controller and I set up an SMB share following the instructions in the video because they talk about that. And once you do that, then you can use the SMB relay attack because you have SMB shares. So there are some other attacks in here that are interesting, but you may have to have certain things turned on in order to be able to do them. And the video walks you through that process. And at the end of it all, you should be in a situation where you can use most of these attacks. Now, I just recently tried to do the IPv6 DNS takeover attack. It didn't work for me. Couldn't get this thing to work at all. Followed the instructions on different videos, saw a lot of websites about this. I couldn't get this thing to work. So this is also why security is hard, because you're looking at how things function. And if you are a system administrator, you just want the thing to work. And maybe there are some things under the hood that you sort of skip over because you just know that these are the steps I take to make it work. I click this, I click that, I put this in there, it's done. In this case, we're trying to take advantage of a flaw in the way some of these things work, and that's our way in. So with the IPv6 DNS takeover attack, IPv6 is enabled by default on Windows 10. Same thing on the server side. It's there. You have an IPv6 address. If you do ipconfig/all, you're going to see that. Now, what I didn't know is that Windows 10 is supposed to, by default, do some IPv6, kind of like an IPv6 DHCP request. And I'm not totally sure how this works because I need to do my homework and figure out what's actually going on there. But there are tools that you can use to sort of capture that and give it a DNS address, which is not going to be the domain controller. It's going to be your hacking box. So in this case, it would be my Kali Linux machine. And then you can use that to get information from the Windows 10 box. And instead of it going to the server, it's going to go to you. And you're going to collect that information and use that as a way into Active Directory. So I tried that and it didn't work because whatever this DHCP request, IPv6 request is supposed to be, never saw the thing. And I did find a website where they had a screenshot of Wireshark showing that information. So I thought, okay, great. I'll open up Wireshark. I'll look for this thing. It'll be fine. Now, in a production environment, Wireshark picks up all this stuff going on because you have the ARP cache, whatever's going on. There's lots of chattiness happening with the network itself and all these other things happening. So if you do this in a production environment, you turn Wireshark on, it's not going to damage anything, but it's going to pick up a lot. So you're going to see a lot of stuff fly by. In a lab environment, it's perfect because there's not a whole lot of communications happening on the network. And so when you turn it on, you're not going to see a whole lot. And in this case, I saw almost nothing. So I saw the tools that I've got set up for the IPv6 relay, whatever's to capture the DNS information and all of that. But Windows 10 never tries to do anything with DHCP v6. So that attack was dead before I even started the process, because at least my version of Windows 10 that I have in my lab, it's not doing anything with IPv6.
Did you have DNS configured?
All that's in there, but what I'm looking for is the Windows 10 machine needs to do like a DHCP request. It's right. Not quite the same thing. I'm not entirely sure exactly how this process is supposed to work, but there should be a DHCP v6 request. So in Windows 10, you can do ipconfig/release, ipconfig/renew, and then that's going to do a DHCP.
IPv6.
It's going to do a DHCP version 4 request. There is a version 6 in there because you have IPv4 addresses and IPv6 addresses. Those two are separate. So they have to do separate requests. Now, according to the information that I have, Windows 10 is supposed to do that periodically for IPv6. Just request it.
So do you just have to wait for Windows 10 to do it to be able to see it?
Well, that's one of the things that I was thinking that did, you know, a lot of the things that happens within a domain environment, they're services, right? And so these things need to be refreshed, whether they're network pieces, some things happen every 30 minutes, some things happen every 90 minutes, some things happen every 5 minutes. It depends on what you're trying to do here or what service you're talking about. So I think that this DHCP version 6 thing is supposed to happen like every 90 minutes or something like that, or every half hour or something like that. But in one of the videos I was watching to learn how to do this, so I just reboot the Windows 10 machine, and when it comes up again, it should request that. Well, my Windows 10 systems didn't request that. So one of the things that you're going to have to pay attention to is when you're looking at these hacking lab environments, take a look at the date. When was the video released? When was the website page put out there? So this video, I think, is a couple years old, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's going to be just fine for the kinds of things that I'm working with. However, I spent half a day trying to figure this IPv6 DNS takeover thing out because it took me a bit to figure out how to get the right tools, how to put all this stuff together, how to get it all set up. And then I waited and I waited and I waited and I got nothing. So I'm going to have to reach out to other people and find out if this attack is still valid, because maybe Microsoft patched something or did an update and did away with this automatic checking of IPv6 addresses. And so instead of being able to run these tools and make it work, it no longer functions anymore.
It'd be interesting. I guess for me, listening to you say that is like, okay, I set up my lab. Now I need to go double check and verify that every single little bit is working as it's supposed to be working on a regular network, and then do the attack.
Well, and that's the other thing too, because some of this stuff is new to me, there's always this thing in the back of my mind, did I configure things properly? Do I have the right services in play? Did I set them up properly? So I think when I went through some of the video, I think what I ended up doing is I ended up setting up part of the stuff and not other parts. And so I sort of just jumped in and I went and did the SMB relay attack, and I skipped over a bunch of other stuff because I realized looking at my notes that I just recently went in there and configured certificate services. And that's for some other attack that you can do. And I thought that that was for the IPv6 DNS takeover attack, but it may be for something else. But I went ahead and enabled that. So maybe I need to go back and watch this video again just to make sure that I have all of the necessary services turned on, because maybe there's something on the server side that I need to take a look at. But because we're talking about Windows 10, and Windows 10 has to make this request for the IPv6 DHCP request, I'm assuming that's a Windows 10 issue. And so if Windows 10's not requesting that, why is it not requesting that? I don't recall anything on the server side that has anything to do with the DHCP portion of Windows 10. So
it just goes to show you that security is more complicated than, people like to think that it is.
Yeah. And so it may be that, like I said, maybe there's an update to Windows 10 that Microsoft disabled that by default. So if you're in a production environment, you may have older Windows 10 systems that this applies to, where you didn't have the updates on there, and this is a vulnerability. This is a way in. If I run the IPv6 tools on my Kali box in your environment, it may actually work.
So would you then go back when you do your research and go, is this attack still active, or has it been patched, or how would you research to find out?
So I might go to
the latest and greatest.
Yeah, I might go to Reddit. They have security groups there, and I may just reach out to those people and say, hey, I'm trying to do this, and it's not working. What's the deal? And somebody there is going to say, oh, that doesn't work anymore. Oh, you need to do this.
Right.
You got to have, right. you know, so you're going to, when you put these kind of things together, you're going to have help because there's a lot of stuff in here. Like I said, if I didn't have this video, I would be even further behind because I've already done the SMB Relay attack, saw the LLMNR attack before this lab was put together, did the SMB Relay attack. So I know some of the tools involved, but trying to do the IPv6 DNS takeover attack didn't work for me. And so there's a lot of other attacks in here that I need to take a look at. But yeah, this is, you know, putting these labs together is a bit tricky. And trying to use all these different things out there, whether it's the MITRE attack matrix or videos like this Active Directory lab environment, even though we have access to these things and they're good, there's a lot that's involved in figuring out, you know, how do I use the MITRE attack matrix? Where do I find good information and how do I use that within my own organization? Because the MITRE attack matrix is useful. It's just not as useful in this lab environment that I was hoping for. And then when you find videos like this video I'm using to put together my lab, it's great. However, it's a couple of years old, things change, and now I'm in a situation where I can't figure out why this IPv6 DNS takeover attack doesn't work. The tools are there, it all looks really good, but when I look at Wireshark, I don't see any DHCP anything for any of my Windows 10 boxes. I only have two in the lab environment, but they should be requesting things. You see the one, if I do ipconfig/renew, you see the DHCP request come out for IPv4, but you don't see one for IPv6. So I don't know what the deal is.
So when you're documenting this kind of thing and how the attacks work and what you have to do for the attacks, let's say that you were tasked having to do this for a client, you know, in the course of your work. Before you even try that, would you look at your notes and go, they're this long? Yeah, I mean, they're this much old. So first I'm going to check and see if there is, you know, if this attack still exists, or would you just go ahead and try it and then deal with that if it didn't work?
In some cases, you just have to try it because it depends on where you are in their environment. Like if you're on your Kali Linux box and you don't have access to Windows 10 and you're trying to do this IPv6 DNS takeover attack, I would set up the tools and see what happens.
Okay.
But you do have to be careful. When you set this up, basically what you are is a man-in-the-middle attack. And so you may have, in a production environment with this particular attack, several Windows 10 machines or Windows boxes in general that stop working. Because now what they're doing is they're going, their DNS is now your box. And so when they're trying to access resources, they're trying to access the internet.
They're coming to you.
They're coming to you, and your box may not resolve that information properly. Because it's not designed to do that. So all these tools are there for is to intercept that DNS stuff and get you what you need in order to continue your attack on Active Directory. They're not there to provide services for the actual organization. So,
well, they're not real services.
They're not real services. So keep that in mind that when you run this, you're gonna, you know, if you're doing this as a pen test for a client, you don't wanna.
You want to let them know that you may have this issue.
Basically. Yeah, you may have several Windows 10 machines or Windows boxes in general that just stop working. And you're going to be running around like crazy people trying to figure out why, and this might be it.
You just schedule it and let the IT team know that their DNS may have some hiccups.
Yes. So I have a lot of homework to do because there's a lot of stuff on the possible attacks that I could do that I haven't looked at yet. I need to reach out to people and find out why this IPv6 attack is not working. And then I need to go back and watch the video again to make sure that whatever services and configurations I have to have on my domain controller, that they're actually there. I didn't miss something. And then I can do my homework and try to figure out how to do the rest of this stuff. So there's a lot involved in this, but I think that's it for now. I will actually add links into the show notes for some of the MITRE attack matrix information because I forgot to do that last episode. And then I will put in links to the lab video, so you can kind of follow along with that. It's great, even though it's old, it's great. Walks you through the step-by-step process. If you've never put a domain controller together before, this will help you with that. Does the basic stuff in there. Oh, one thing that I did do is I ran bad blood on this particular setup so that I have like a whole messed up Active Directory. I still recommend you follow the instructions that are in the video, because I think that that's going to be, when you're starting out, it's going to be easier, because he actually has you create specific user accounts within Active Directory and on the Windows 10 boxes, because you're going to need that information when you do your attacks. It's helpful to know what's on what box, rather than having this giant mess of stuff in there that you're not too sure about. But I think that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at support@section9.us. If you haven't subscribed to our show, please do so. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.